Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who's revealed to us God the Father and given to us the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is the Old Testament reading, God in the temple with Isaiah. And so God in the temple with you and me today. What happens? We pray, gracious Lord, grant us ears to hear your word in your temple, hearts to believe your word. Cleanse us and forgive us like you did Isaiah, that we leave today saying, here am I, send me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I said in Bible class today, it is halftime. Holy Trinity Sunday is halftime of the church year. The church year began back in Advent, and we had Christmas, the birth of Jesus. We had Epiphany, his baptism, his transfiguration. We had Lent, where we focus on his suffering, his death. We had Holy Week, Palm Sunday, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter, the week of weeks. Then we had the long Easter season celebrating the resurrection of Christ. Last Sunday, we had Pentecost. After Jesus ascends into heaven, he pours out the Holy Spirit. That was last Sunday. And that now ends the first half of the church year, which is about the life of Christ. And we had three great festivals. Christmas, a festival of God the Father, who so loved the world, as we read, that he gave his Son. We had Good Friday, Easter, a festival of God the Son, who gave his life. Last Sunday, Pentecost. Where were you? Where's the church at Pentecost? A festival of God, the Holy Spirit, who gives us faith. And the second half of the church here, we will see a lot of green in church over the summer and fall as we think of the life of the church now. Christ did all this. We have the Holy Spirit. We are to grow green, grow in faith, grow in knowledge, grow in love, grow in service, be growing people as a branch attached to the vine Christ by the power of God's Spirit. So today is really kind of a halftime. A break between the two halves of the church year. What do you do at halftime? Well, you go to a ball game, you go to a concert, you usually stretch. Don't do that in church, please. Unless your neighbor's sleeping, then stretch and poke him. We usually get up and go to the bathtub at halftime. You don't have to go to the bathroom now. Should have done that before church. Maybe you get something to eat at halftime. Well, we have good food to eat today. We have word and sacrament. And also at halftime, you do a little reflecting, a little reviewing of what happened the first half and make goals for the second half. And so today we reflect on the Trinity. And I want to use Isaiah chapter 6 as a wonderful little story of the work of the Trinity for sinful people. This story would teach us in a way that God the Father is the heavenly person of the Trinity. God the Son is the humble person of the Trinity. And God the Holy Spirit is the helping person of the Trinity. All that we get back to heaven and be with God forever. This is the personal love of God. God loves Isaiah so much that the Almighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords, with angels and archangels all around, this God shows up for Isaiah, a poor, miserable sinner. He loves him. God shows up for you if you're the only person in church. Because God loves you. And he would have you forgiven and cleansed and saved. That's the personal love of God for every human being. Let's talk about the Father to begin. He is what I would say is the heavenly person of the Trinity. Although we think of heaven with all of them. But the Father, especially if you think of heaven. Think of God the Father, you think of heaven. You think of glory, majesty, honor, righteousness, paradise, angels, archangels. And notice how the Father is described. He's sitting on the throne. He's high and lifted up, Isaiah says. The train of his robe filled the temple. He's so glorious and big, merely the end of his train gets in the temple because he's so much bigger than all that, as we all know. He has angels singing, holy, holy, holy. And even though angels are perfect, they cannot stand the sight of God. They have to cover their faces, if you will, because he's so holy and we can't hardly bear his presence. And think about that when you think of how sinful we are. And he comes to be with us and comes to be with Isaiah. God the Father, a picture of heaven, glory, majesty. And this reminds us of what our goal in life is. We live 40, 50, 60, 80, 90 years, maybe 10, whatever God gives us, 100 maybe. What's our goal in life? Why are we on this earth? Our goal is not to make a pile of money. Isaiah doesn't offer God money to get to heaven. Our goal is not to work and work and work endlessly. I work so hard. Is your work an idol to you? Keeps you away from the house of God? It's wrong. Our life is not just work and job and money or pleasure and pleasure and sport and pleasure. It's not just education. These things are not bad. That's not really life. Our goal in life is to be with the Father. Our goal in life as sinners is to be back with the Father when all is good, to enjoy His glory, to be with the angels, the archangels, to be in paradise, the resurrection of my flesh, and dwell with the Father forever. That's what life's about, union with the Father. It was all broken in the Garden of Eden. And we break that union all the time. But our goal in life is to be with the Father forever. Because the alternative is hell. Away from the Father forever. Christianity is simply this. To be with the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's Christianity. To be with the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, my kids giggle at me in the summertime. You know why? They always giggle at me, and so do you probably. But why in the summertime? Well, they giggle when I wear shorts. Dad, your legs are so white. They're ghostly. They're pasty white. Put on some long pants, Dad. And then on top of that, I get a red head when I work outside. You got a big, fat, red head and white legs. Ha, ha, ha. And many other things they giggle about. We all want to look better. We all want to look better and get better. That's why we wear clothes and comb our hair and get a suntan and whatever, work out. We all want to look better. We can look better in heaven. Look at how God looks. We're going to rise from the dead through Christ and be in glory and be holy and righteous and live forever with no more pain or sickness or pasty white legs or a red head and losing hair. We're going to live forever, and that's the goal. But it's impossible. It's impossible. Notice Isaiah's reaction when he sees God. Isaiah doesn't say, well, God, take me on up. Here's my list of good things I've done. Take me on up. I'm ready to go. That's what you and I would say. I'm ready to go. Let's take me. But Isaiah's reaction is what? Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I deserve to be in hell. You are holy and righteous. I'm a sinner. Woe is me. That's the confession of sins. We're saying, woe is me to be in the house of God. It's impossible, Isaiah is saying. How could I ever really be with you, God? And that leads to the second person of the Trinity. And that is the humble person of the Trinity. And that's the Son of God, Jesus. Notice the story progresses. You think Isaiah is going to be zapped to hell. Yeah, Isaiah, what are you doing in here? Get out of here. Go to hell, you sinner. That's not what happened. God is gracious. And how is Isaiah forgiven? God doesn't just say a magical word. He could have done that, but God does something. God puts a burning coal on his lips from the altar of sacrifice. And I suggest the burning coal points us to the Son. The burning coal is not Jesus precisely, but it points forward to Jesus. He is the burning coal in the story. The Father is the glorious Lord on the throne. We want to get to him. How's it happen? By the burning coal. Jesus. Notice the similarities. The burning coal is small. It's very, very small. Little coal. The Son of God became small. He lay in a manger as a baby. He walked on this earth. He's Joseph's son, the carpenter. He's Mary's son. He's small. He's little. He's weak. How can a burning coal help me, Isaiah must think. How can Jesus help me, people said. Small, weak. And yet it's a burning coal from the altar of sacrifice. It gets its power from the altar of sacrifice. And so Christ, as the Son of God, has his power because he's God. He burns with righteousness, burns with zeal and love, and he sacrificed his life on the real altar of sacrifice called the cross. Because of the cross, that sacrifice, Christ brings forgiveness and salvation for all people. And notice it merely touches Isaiah's lips. He doesn't do anything. It just touches his lips and it cleanses his entire being from head to toe, heart, mind, and soul by just touching him on the lips. Full, complete forgiveness. And so Christ, by dying on the cross, this humble man, the Son of God, he brings about full, complete forgiveness from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet and all everything in between, all that I am, heart, mind, and soul, everything, my everything is forgiven and washed because of his work. It's amazing. Amazing grace for a sinner. The Son is the burning coal, I suggest, in the story. Humble. Here to bring about salvation. Here to die on the cross, the altar of sacrifice. I read a quote from Matt Lauer that struck me. Matt Lauer is the co-host of the Today Show in the morning. He wrote this, struck me, about our society. He said, "My son and I will be watching a baseball game together, and a popular player hits a home run, and my son, without hesitation, will ask, 'You think he's on steroids?' Heroes have been broken before his eyes so many times, and that's disheartening. Our heroes in life fail us, be it baseball players, football players, Hollywood stars. They fail us. They sin. They're not what they're all hyped up to be. Very true. But we have a hero of heroes. You want a hero for your kids' children? For your kids' parents? You want a hero who never fails us? A hero who can deliver us from hell and give us eternal victory? His name is Jesus, the very Son of God. He doesn't have his power because of steroids, because he's God of God. That's how he gets his power. He lived and died and rose for our salvation. He is the hero that never fails us, that forgives us and has saved us. Hold on to him and cling to him and forget about the other heroes. And that leads us to the helping person of the Trinity. And that, of course, is the Holy Spirit. How does this burning coal get to Isaiah? Does Isaiah have the idea and say, "Hey, God, maybe I can go over and have that burning coal touch my lips, and I'll go over there and grab it, put it on my lips, and I'll be cleansed. What do you think, God?" Isaiah does nothing. Zero. All Isaiah does is shrink and say, "Woe is me." He's scared to death, literally. Scared to hell, literally. And that's Isaiah. It is all God's idea to bring the burning coal to his lips. And how's it happen? By an angel who flies the burning coal over and touches his lips. Isaiah does nothing. Doesn't take one step. Doesn't say anything. This is the church. I suggest the angel represents the Holy Spirit in the story. The Holy Spirit is not an angel, but the angel points forward to the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit brings us salvation. That's why the Spirit is given. He flies to us as the dove, if you will. He brings us Christ, brings us salvation, brings us forgiveness. He touches our lips he touches our lips today. It's called communion. You're like Isaiah. You're better than Isaiah. Isaiah only got a burning coal. We actually have Jesus' body and blood touch our lips, and don't sleep through that, church. Christ, the Son of God, touches my lips, and more than that, I eat his body and drink his blood. Wow, what a God to save me. And he puts this Jesus in my ears as I hear. And he washes me in this Jesus when I'm baptized. This is the Spirit, the dove, the bird, the counselor, whoever is applying forgiveness and salvation to me, the burning coal to me, Christ. And another work of the Spirit is to believe it all. It is quite amazing that Isaiah allows a burning coal to touch his lips. If I had a burning coal and wanted to touch your lips, would you say, "Oh, go ahead, Pastor, I believe it's going to save me"? You'd run. It's a burning coal. Don't touch fire. But Isaiah receives it. How can that happen? You think he'd shy away? "You're not going to touch my mouth with burning coal? I don't care if you're an angel or not." Because the Spirit's given him faith. The Spirit has created faith in this man's heart to believe God's not here to harm me. This won't harm me. It'll help me. It'll forgive me. It's a gift of God. And so Isaiah is given faith, not by his own doing, it's by the Spirit who's involved in all of this, giving him faith to believe God's not going to zap me to hell. He forgives me even with a burning coal. And this is the faith you have when you come here. Christ is not here to hurt me. He's here to forgive me and bless me and give me peace because he loves me. a miracle of the Holy Spirit. And this is just the beginning for Isaiah. Isaiah then is a prophet for some 40 years. It's not the end. He doesn't just go to heaven. He says, here am I, send me. And we leave church saying, here am I, send me. It's not over now. I got work to do. Isaiah is a prophet among a very rebellious, idolatrous people for about 40, 50 years. Isaiah is persecuted. Did you know Isaiah got sawed in half? ISIS got him too, if you will, the ISIS back then. They sawed him in half, a martyr. But he persevered in the faith. He proclaimed the word of God. 66 chapters to his book, read Isaiah. All by the power of the Holy Spirit who kept him in the faith, who gave him the word of God, who continued to wash him and cleanse him. The Spirit kept him in the faith until he went to heaven. And his body renewed and glorious now in heaven. And so the Spirit keeps us in the faith. This is just the start. We leave this week now to say, here am I, I'll go be a servant, Lord. Not let somebody else do it, but here am I, send me. I'll be a servant. I want to be a witness. Keep me in the faith, Spirit, until I go to heaven. There's work to be done. Read a cute story to conclude that applies to our society, I think, too. Larry wins the lottery. Larry wins the lottery and he goes downtown to win his prize. Give me my $20 million, he tells the man in charge. Sorry, the man says, but it doesn't work that way. You'll get $1 million today and then the rest we spread out over the next 19 years, $1 million every year. Larry is furious. Look, I want my money. And if you're not going to give me my $20 million right now, then I want my dollar back. I don't think it's true. At least I hope it's not true. But it reminds me of American society. I want what I want right now. Not later, not a year from now. I want it all right now. Give it to me right now. I got to have it right now. Immediate gratification right now. And that's not Christianity. Christianity is patience. I have Christ right now. I have the burning coal upon my lips soon. And I am forgiven. I have the love of God. But I don't have glory yet. I don't have the gold streets yet. I don't have the resurrection of my flesh yet. I must be patient and bear my sufferings and bear my crosses. And I do that all by the power of the Holy Spirit, working through the word of God that you hear, working through the sacrament you take. That's why you need to be here with your kids. This keeps us in the faith that we don't fall away and go to hell, but we stay close to Christ and live forever. And that's all the Holy Spirit for Isaiah, for you and I. Blessed be the Holy Trinity. Say with me. Blessed be the Holy Trinity. The Father, the heavenly person, the goal. The Son, the humble person. He's the way. The Spirit, the helping person who applies it all to me that I be saved. Now, next Sunday, Wednesdays, that I go to heaven. Amen. Let's stand. May the peace of God which transcends all human understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. It is tradition to recite the Athanasian Creed on Holy Trinity Sunday. It's the only Sunday that we say this creed. And you can read about Athanasius, a church father, in the introduction on page 319. You can read that on your own. A great Christian living back in the 300s. And he wrote this creed. It's a beautiful statement of faith about the Trinity. One God in three persons. It is long, but meditate as we go through it. And thank God for it. And I will read it through by whole verse. I'll read verse 1, you verse 2. By whole verse, we'll confess it. Let's begin. Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. But the Godhead of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is one. The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. just as there are not three uncreated, or three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty. And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord. And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords. The Father is not made nor created by anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. And in this the Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another. But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped. Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man. He is God begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man born from the substance of his mother in this age, perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh, equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity. Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ. One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God. One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. Let us pray.